Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday week. I am very, very appreciative of Dennis Colazzo's for giving me the Coons Ford red shirt. I'm wearing my green marathon shirt. I look a little bit like Mr. Grinch, although Mr. Grinch came to downtown Baltimore in the site of the other green guys and Aaron Rodgers in the last play of the game. Luke Jones joins us now. He will be in Owings Mills all week long. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. And don't forget the Christmas Day deal, free coffee. You're driving, you got relatives, some of them you might not even like. If you're stuck with them, at least you got good coffee. One click, one press, always fresh. It's Royal Farms, and it's free. If you have the app, download the app. Make sure you're getting your points, and do that on Christmas Day. Free coffee. I'm going to need to wake up, Luke, after that mess on Sunday night. You know, we talked so much about the play and the two-point conversion that we sort of, like, forget the first 59 minutes of the game, right? Like, literally, It was a tough slog on both sides. I think the Packers thought it was going to be easier than it was going to be. Then the minute it looked like it was easy and they had a lead, here come the Ravens back. This is a resilient team, and we'll get lost in hours and minutes of beating Harbaugh up and fire the coach, bench the quarterback, and Lamar's no good, get rid of him, we'll give Huntley. All the stupid phone calls that I've spared myself here this week, although I didn't really think, like, for a Christmas gift to myself that I could be the caller and the host and, like, make phone calls up for all the crazy stuff you'll hear, when really kind of the opposite is true in regard to Harbaugh, right? Like, this might be his Picasso, even though it looks like dog manure sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you still – you go back to the Super Bowl year. I mean, you fire your offensive coordinator in December. I think it's still, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment too much. I mean, no one thought in mid-December that that team had any shot at winning the Super Bowl. I mean, we remember Joe Flacco.
Right around.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The Denver game. I mean, it was a disaster. I go back and look at 2008, his first year. You know, you have a rookie quarterback. Go look at the injuries they had that year. Now, it wasn't quite as extreme as this year, but I think you go back and you remember just how many guys they were missing that year. So he's had some fantastic coaching jobs in the past. But, yeah, again, you look at this team. You look at the secondary that they fielded on Sunday. I mean, come on. They had, and I say this with no disrespect to these guys, because both of these guys, even though one has just rejoined the team, but Anthony Levine was playing basically his first defensive snaps of the entire season. If he had many, it was not, you know, it was a few, you know, a rare snap here or there.
And he was lining guys up. I saw him in the second half lining cats up, literally.
Yeah, I mean, it was
no him. Chuck Clark out there wearing a green dot. None of that, right? I mean, you don't even know where the leadership is out there. Patrick Queen stepped into that role, right?
Well, I mean, it was Geno Stone wearing the green dot. And I actually just double checked because I wanted to be sure about this. I doubted myself. Anthony Levine had not played a defensive snap all year. I mean, this is a guy who used to be their dime back. Keep that in mind. Tony Jefferson, who was just brought back on the practice squad this week. And we know Tony's story. I mean, he tore up his knee a couple years ago for the Ravens. He's played very little football since then. He was kind of sort of with San Francisco, you know, on their practice squad, played a couple games, didn't play much. And because of circumstances, when you lose Chuck Clark and you're down some other defensive backs, well, hey, at the very least, you know, Tony Jefferson knows the defense. So he was out there playing a little bit of dime. So it just shows, that being said, these are guys that are past their prime, either in Jefferson's case, it's a physical thing. Anthony Levine, I mean, he's been around a long time. I mean, this is a guy who's well into his 30s at this point. He's a special teams player at this point, but they're out there playing, and they're out there playing against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. It just speaks to
winning and almost
right,
winning.
Exactly.
Goes back to
exactly.
The beginning of this. It's incredible what's going on here.
It really is. And I don't want to praise the
deep row, right? I mean, so it feels like ish, doesn't it?
I mean, exactly. I mean, and that's why I said, like, they don't have any more room for moral victories now. I mean, like, okay, if you want to pat them on the back this week in that sense, I'm fine with that. Because again, I had no expectation. going into this one, it kind of felt like, is this going to be like, I think you and I even talked about it before the game in the press box. Is this going to be like the Jimmy Clausen mustard pants game at the end of 2015 where the Chiefs just beat the snot out of them? And you know, you're kind of like looking at it like, oh, they're dressed up like the Ravens, but it doesn't really feel like the Ravens. I mean, that's what it felt like going into the game. And this team got off to its best start, its best first quarter we've seen since the Chargers. You know, you mentioned it in a previous segment, you know, the debate on, do you settle for 3 points there? I generally speaking, and John Harbaugh has felt this way, you go back to the end of the last few years of the Joe Flacco era, I think kicking field goals from the 3-yard line, especially early in the game, is bad business. I think you're selling yourself short. And the thing that people need to remember here is you don't get it, so then Green Bay's backed up. Well, Green Bay went 3 and out. They punt the ball. There's the kick catch interference, and the Ravens have the ball at the Green Bay 45. If they kick the field goal there, chances are their field position on that next possession isn't nearly as good there. So you always have to remember that. And there's always the butterfly effect, and every decision you make is going to be met by a different sequence of events. So you have some of that, but that's easily the best start they've had in a game since the Chargers game, which says a lot more about how they've been playing since then than it does about, you know, having some miracle start. But they got off to a good start in this game. But the problem is, you know, you're going up against Aaron Rodgers, and as much as the defense I think if you look at it, I mean, Wink Martindale called a very different game than what you normally see. One, Aaron Rodgers, much like Patrick Mahomes, kills the blitz. So you had to be a little more judicious in how you're going to use that. You know, there were some times we saw some elements of that game plan against Kansas City where always kind of split out and then, you know, we'll delay rush, you know, did some things like that. You know, we already mentioned they use lots of different guys in the secondary, lots of different sub packages. But ultimately, you just look at the horses you're missing. No Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe up front. You know, we've talked about inside linebacker with LJ Fort, you know, although Josh Bynes has picked up the slack there. So I don't know if they're necessarily missing him quite as much. But you just look at the secondary. I mean, their entire base secondary, you know, talking about your base package, your starting two corners and your two safeties were gone from early September.
A year too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no Marcus Peters, no Marlon Humphrey, no Chuck Clark, no Deshaun Elliott. No Chris Westry, who had replaced Marlon Humphrey. No Jimmy Smith, who you were hoping maybe had a vintage performance in him. I mean, you just go down the list. It's incredible. And look, they gave up 31 points, and you know, Green Bay moved the ball at will for large portions of that game. But
they did get off.
They gave themselves a chance.
Times. They did.
Yeah, I mean, the stop at the end, we wouldn't even be talking about a 2-point conversion. I mean, you know, a lot of people did not like them going for the fourth down earlier in the fourth quarter. I was fine with it because I think you're looking at it realistically and you're saying, you're down 11 points with 12 minutes to go against Aaron Rodgers. I think punting the football there is that to me feels like you're more worried about losing by 2 touchdowns rather than 3 touchdowns, or losing by 3 touchdowns rather than 2 touchdowns. To me, you got to shoot your shot, and it didn't work out, but hey, your defense got to stop / Rodgers missed the guy on third down and they had to settle for a field goal, kept it a 2-score game. But you know, you're going to have to take some chances. And one thing that, you know, we've talked about before, and they weren't doing it even when they were healthier, this defense doesn't force any turnovers. I mean, they just don't. They're right near the bottom of the league. And Green Bay does not turn the ball over. So,
well, and they cover poorly too. So they're always running from behind, right? And these aren't the guys with the strip thing with Marlon. These are guys just trying to get in the league right now, just trying to figure out where to line up.
I was going
to
say, know your assignment.
Or Anthony Levine, you know everything about where you need to be, and you can't get there. Literally, you're 30, so you can't get there. Same thing with Jimmy Smith if he's out there, can't get there. So I don't. I mean, we'll talk about Cincinnati. We'll talk about Pittsburgh, the Rams, and January football and all that. But to your point, sticking with this particular game, this is as good as it's going to get. And they hung in. They hung in to the point where, like, this week, I don't know who's going to play in the secondary against Cincinnati. I don't know what COVID's going to be this week and who's going to be available. But it feels like if they march out there with a bird on their helmet and Harbaugh's got them out there, that they'll go out there and run for 4 quarters, and they might fall short. But even when they easily could have been embarrassed, and we sat around text after text you're sending, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford, you know, another player that who's going to play in the secondary, and it's almost like a joke. Well, bring back Tony Jefferson, maybe run LaVine out there for 20 snaps, and damn if they didn't, and damn if they didn't have a chance to win. So there really is something. I'm not playing Christmas Miracle here or playing the role of, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge or whatever, but we're getting our money's worth. I don't know what else to say with a year that we will never have injuries the way the team's had injuries this year, that they're holding it together is, you know, I don't want to be Pollyanna, but it's been worth watching and better than maybe I thought it was going to be when I woke up on Sunday and went over there.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted it out. I think it was probably in the morning. It might have been early afternoon. I keep forgetting this. You know, it was a 4:25 kick, but you know, I pointed out the Ravens. You know, it was 14 years ago, 2007. You know, Coach Billick's final year, where at the end of that season, remember their top corners were Corey Ivey, Willie Gaston, Ronnie Prude, David Pittman. Maybe they weren't quite at that territory to start the game, but when Tavon Young goes to the locker room with a concussion, you literally have one guy left. Anthony Averett probably, you know, Corey Ivey was their nickel, you know, in 2006, 07. So he was a real player, but the rest of those guys, you're, you know, failed draft picks or practice squad guys or someone you signed off the street. Willie Gaston, those are the only games he ever played in his entire career in the NFL. So I mean, that's what they're dealing with.
I brought him out to Pibb's Pub. You can find it on YouTube.
There we go. That's pretty cool. But again,
Houston.
I saw fan, and I understand because it's the heat of the moment, and fans are competitive, right? I mean, and people are on Twitter. You know, you're heated in the moment, but you know, I see people that are mad at Robert Jackson because he can't cover Devontae Adams, and it's just like, you know, they're one injury short of calling me down from the press box, and I wasn't that good in high school, let alone trying to play at that level. So I mean, it's just, it really is a case, and that's why it is such a tribute to them. And again, I'm with you. I don't want to be the Pollyanna guy because, hey, their backs are against the wall at this point. They're 8-6. You know, they don't have a whole lot of margin for error left.
God, I mean, that again. That sounds dirty.
They're 8-6. They're 8-6. I mean, right? That's where they are. They are, as of the end of Sunday night, you look at the standings, they're currently on the outside looking in because Cincinnati's got the tiebreaker. Now, that can change next week.
Oh, you got to go take it from them. I mean, this is part of where Pittsburgh won again, and Cincinnati's there, and Cleveland will play at some point.
Right. But I'd also say the saving grace is also that, you know, we've kind of been talking about this for a while, right? And the Bengals, hey, if they beat the Ravens, they have Kansas City the following week. They go to Cleveland week 18. And you know, the Browns, I mean, their COVID situation and this, you know, playing rescheduled games. And
by the way, as the Raiders were, the Ravens and the Steelers and the Bengals should be like, you couldn't get the post on Sunday. I mean,
it's
leniency of all of it. They're going to let me run around the facility next week, probably, right?
Well, I think, I still think what's so tricky about it, and, you know, I mean, we have so much game to cover, and I'm guessing we'll be continuing to talk about this, but I think so much of it is it changed from the standpoint of when I think when the protocols were put in back in July, the thought was, all right, this team's going to have 15 guys on their roster, hypothetically unvaccinated. And if they cause an outbreak, well then too bad, you guys are going to lose, or you're going to forfeit potentially, or you're going to play shorthanded with, you know, assuming it's Omicron, and that's kind of been what Dr. Sills, you know, from the NFL had indicated when, you know, they had their late week meetings and decided to postpone the games they did. You know, you're talking about vaccinated players. You know, it seems overwhelming has been vaccinated players. So I think the spirit of what the protocol was supposed to be, in the same way that, you know, health experts would tell you Delta changed things over the summer, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't want to get too much into that, but I think that changed things. And now that's why you're seeing the league go back into tighter protocols in certain ways. Testing's been altered. I mean, and I don't know what the right decision is. I'm not smart enough to say that, but it is going to be a major factor here. And with the Ravens, you hold your breath now because you've seen they've had a few positives going into Sunday's game. And not that the on-field transmission part that people were worried about last year, overwhelming evidence. You have nearly two full seasons without any evidence of on-field transmission. So it's not as much that, but it's, all right, is this just the three or four guys who are going to test positive, or is this going to turn into a Cleveland situation? Is this going to turn into a Washington situation? The Bears have had a lot of positive tests. The Rams. So, but that's going to be
hockey teams get shut down over the weekend. Right. NBA teams have been getting shut down. Right.
But that's going to be the potential. And we talked about this last year. And we talked about how it cost the Ravens against Pittsburgh last year. I mean, that can be the, and I don't want to belittle the COVID or the testing or anything like that, or the health, any health elements or what have you, but it can be the great equalizer still, especially when you're talking about a division that's this jumbled as the AFC North is right now. But, you know, I mentioned the Bengals schedule. I mean, the Browns after Las Vegas, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, home against Cincinnati, and the Steelers, who, you know, somehow, you know, I mean, they got a win, and they go to Kansas City. They're home against Cleveland, and then of course they come to Baltimore for Week 18. So none of these teams have the kind of schedule where you say, "Wow, I really like their chances." But in the same way we were talking about the Ravens before, now with Cincinnati having gone to Denver and taking care of business, it wasn't a beautiful performance. But hey, they're now the team that they have their path that they can control. I hate saying control your own destiny, but
anything there that feels like 3-0 for any of those teams. Right,
right, exactly.
Like, well, and literally, it would really be Herculean for any of those teams to go 3-0. I mean, Cincinnati, read their opponents. If they win all three, Baltimore, read their three opponents. I mean, we're worried about just one, right? Yeah. Like all three of these feel like we're in trouble. Everybody feels that way in the division right now because they all have tough games.
And the other interesting thing, Nestor, is I would also say, I think all of those teams, you could make arguments for them losing out too. I mean, just in the way that because it is a little more of a challenging schedule, or the Ravens are so decimated by injuries, the Browns have had, you know, they've had their major offensive struggles even before you talked about COVID infections. I mean, the Steelers, we've seen their offense look how it's looked, and their defense hasn't lived up to. And you have Cincinnati.
By the way, Tennessee, PU, too. Yeah. Right, with them.
Oh, sure. Right? Well, and they're, you know what? I'm glad you brought it up because they're a perfect example of a team that, yeah, they lose Derrick Henry, who.
The Colts in there, too, by the way. Yeah, the Colts, I mean, all of those teams. Like last week, they're okay. Next week, they're not okay, right?
You know, it's funny. They beat New England, though. I mean, look at how the Patriots have been playing. I think the Colts, and I say this with no pleasant feeling in acknowledging this, I think Indianapolis is a team, if they get in, and look, they're 8-6. I mean, it is wild. I'm looking at the standings right now, and you just see Kansas City, who's at the top. Imagine that after they were, 3-4, and everyone thought they were done. But 10-4, New England, 9-5, Tennessee, 9-5, and then 8-6, 8-6, 8-6, 8-6, 8-6. You know, the Steelers are 6 losses. I mean, it's just, it is wild. But I do think Indianapolis is that team, and maybe Saturday night wasn't the best example because Carson Wentz really didn't do anything throwing the football, and you know, it was Jonathan Taylor. But to me, they're that team that's interesting that I think might be a little bit better than the record, but they've got to get in, right? And that's where all these teams are right now. You can talk all you want about which teams you like, but unless you're talking about Kansas City or I think New England, but I mean, you even mentioned the Titans. I mean, there's a team that lost Derrick Henry, lost AJ Brown for a time. You know, they lost Julio Jones again, who's been a major disappointment for them. That's one where maybe the Ravens, we can point out the Ravens' decisions that they have made that maybe didn't work out. There's one. They didn't get Julio Jones, and that's worked out really well because he has been a non-factor because of his health issues. But, you know, there's a team that, you know, I mean, and look, maybe I'm a little out of order saying this because they're still a game better than the Ravens, but I don't know. You look at them and, you know, they're having their issues. And
well, a couple of these teams aren't going to be in the tournament. I mean, Cincinnati, the Ravens, the Browns, the Steelers. I mean, one of those teams might be in, maybe two. You're talking about the Chargers and you're talking about the Colts and you're talking about the Titans. I mean, not all these teams get to make the, although they've added, right? But I mean, not all these teams are going to be in the tournament.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes back to what you just said and how we were kind of sizing up the schedules. I still think if the Ravens win two of these final three at 10-7, they should be good. Assuming one of those wins comes against, you know, to me, you beat Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, which all right, the Bengals beat you in Baltimore. You need to go beat them in Cincinnati. And if you take care of the Steelers in your home building in week 18, which, you know, considering they've got that tie, they're behind the eight ball compared to the other 8-6 teams, because that tie doesn't, you know, really hurts them. It feels like a loss for them in that regard. You know, I mean, it's they could be playing for nothing. So you win your two division games over these last 3 weeks. See what happens against the Rams. I mean, at that point, you're kind of looking at seeding. I think they're in. You know, I think they're
meaty, though, isn't it? I mean, it's like it's as good as it could possibly be from a layout standpoint. I mean, none of these teams have a Jets or a Jaguars in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the schedule makers knew what they were in this division I'm talking about. And it's this way all over the league. I mean, really, there's so much jockeying going on throughout the league. There's no 15-2 out there. Most of these teams are flawed. I mean, look at the Arizona Cardinals.
I was just going to say, I mean, one of those teams that a few weeks ago, I thought, okay, Kyler Murray's coming back, and they hung in there with Colt McCoy and then they put up that performance, really? So, hey, it's what they want, right? John Harbaugh said this a couple weeks ago. The NFL and the NFC is a little, you know, they've got a little more quality at the top. But you look at that AFC right now. I said it, 8-6. I mean, that's exactly what they want. And it's very compelling. Even if you look at most of those teams and kind of like the Ravens, you say, you know what? I don't really think they're all that good, but in that case, I'll take John Harbaugh against all these other teams with lesser coaches trying to figure it out at 8-6. That's for sure.
Trying to get Lamar Jackson healthy all week, trying to get ready for Cincinnati. We're going to go out to Cincinnati this week, talk some old friends out there as we get ready for the holiday and eggnog ice cream at Wise and all that good stuff that we're doing. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery on hiatus here for the holiday this week. That will not stop me from giving scratch-off tickets into the new year. We're going to be out and about. Nacho Mamas and Mamas on the Half Shell is going to be one of our first tour stops as we get into 2022. You can go and listen to all the 30th anniversary stuff last week at Costas. We had a great, great time there. Had a great crab imperial as well as crab stuffed mushrooms. I felt like a king, and I'm going to get some crabs this week, too, for crabs for Christmas. It's like I'm in Essex. I went to Pizza John's the other day, too. That was delicious. So I got cheese. I thought it was something about getting even with the Packers. It didn't work out. Ravens lose to the Packers. Luke is here. We are talking all things football as we get prepared for the holiday and for Cincinnati. He will be out in Owings Mills all week long. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. We've talked a little bit about the Rofomania and the Chicken Palooza and the Western Fries on the cover of Baltimore Magazine. Max Weiss joined us this week. Also had a great conversation with Tom McMillan that I want to throw out. Lefty Drizel's 90th birthday. They're honoring him on Sunday, the 26th. You can go to lefty90.com. Make sure you check out our Tom McMillan interview as well. And, of course, our friends at Royal Farms with the free coffee on Christmas. Merry Christmas. Just get the app. And you can get a large coffee and push the little button there, get the Jamaican Blue Mountain, or get the dark roast the way I do so often. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, fire the coach, bench the quarterback. Oh, no, that's the FM station. We'll be back with more Wise conversations right after this on Baltimore Positive.